digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
This is Bauer.
Jack, air traffic control just received a VCI distress signal from your aircraft. That effectively authorizes President Logan to shoot you down.
Start taking us down. Do it now.
Jack, the F-18 is within 15 miles.
My radar is locked on the target.
Lower the landing gear!
We're going too fast!
Touch it down!
You're ready to move, Bierko.
Thank you. I'll be right out.
Vladimir Bierko, you're being transferred to a primary holding facility at our district headquarters. Jeff, the Attorney General's on his way to his office right now. He'll be ready for a video conference in 10 minutes.
Chloe, I want you to prepare the recording for playback. I want you to clean it up and apply a digital signature so we can establish a chain of evidence. You work alone.
We got the evidence. President Logan's gonna pay for David Palmer's assassination.
Spectacle of a sitting president on trial for murder
would be devastating.
Yes, it would.
If only there were a way that we could prevent such a trial from taking place.
Mr. President, you don't know me. My name is Miles Papazian, and I work under Karen Hayes.
What is this about?
It's about a recording, sir. If leaked, could significantly compromise national security.
Why are you telling me this?
I feel compelled to intervene. And I just wanted to make sure that you would approve.
I do, Mr. Papazian.
And I do approve.
Get out of here, Miles.
I'm just doing my job, Chloe.
Well, if your job is to slow things down, then you're doing really good work.
I'll tell Karen you'll be ready.
The following takes place between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m.
The Attorney General will be on the line in 5 minutes.
Did you tell him that the recording implicates President Logan and Palmer's assassination?
No. I feel he needs to hear it directly from the source.
Fine.
As Karen, Bill, and Jack walk purposefully through CTU, Papazian, seated at his workstation, throws them a sidelong look. Karen and Jack enter the operations room.
We're minutes away, Chloe. What's your status?
Everything is set up. I've got a T1 line hooked into the Attorney General. The other two lines are secured on dedicated channels.
What other two lines?
Patching in a representative from the House Judiciary Committee and congressional liaison. We need their support to call for an emergency session of Congress to begin impeachment proceedings.
Impeachment proceedings? What about an arrest warrant?
We'll never get justice to indict a sitting president. Removing him from office is a necessary step to begin full criminal prosecution.
All right, Chloe, let's check the sound levels. Play the recording.
Chloe presses buttons. Her eyes widen. Jack casts her an apprehensive look.
What's wrong?
I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where's the recording?
This is what's on the digital media.
That's impossible. See if there's an overlay. Check your connections.
There are no mistakes.
Even Chloe, you were responsible for this recording. What the hell happened?
I just told you. I don't know. But if there was something on this memory chip, it's been erased.
Yes?
Excuse me, Miss Hayes. The Attorney General is holding on the line. Miss Hayes?
I heard you. Bill Buchanan will take the call in a moment.
I'll tell him we're having technical difficulties. We need to postpone the conference.
Someone got to that recording.
Perhaps it was damaged in your attempts to retrieve it.
It wasn't. Chloe, who had access to this room?
No one.
Someone did. Who had access to this room? Think about it.
Miles was in here.
What?
You sent him in here to check up on me while I was setting up.
I never sent him in here. Jack.
Jack, a dangerous look in his eye, heads out through the door and across the operations floor to Papazian.
Security, stop him.
Mr. Bauer.
Jack. Jack, stop.
He throttles Papazian.
You son of a bitch.
Let go of me, Bauer.
Do you know how many people lost their lives so I could bring that evidence in?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We know it's you.
Let him go, Jack. Jack, let him go. Where are you going, Miles?
I've been transferred. I was told to report immediately. The order should be coming through any minute.
Transferred to where?
The White House.
Jack turns and walks away in disgust. Papazian stands limply massaging his throat and regaining his breath. Karen Hayes turns on him a look of utter disappointment and betrayal.
How could you do this, Miles? This is not over. There will be an investigation.
Do what you have to do, Karen. But I work for the president now.
Karen's slap causes Papazian to flinch. As he turns his face back to her, however, his expression is calmly vengeful. Karen turns on her heel. Papazian picks up his coat and briefcase and heads out of CTU.
Jack, I'm so sorry. I don't know how he did it. He didn't even touch the recorder.
Karen, Audrey Raines heard the recording when I played it for Secretary Heller. I know that she will sign an affidavit to claim...
Jack, not now.
Chloe, take the recorder down to processing.
Break down the memory chip and see if you can restore anything.
Fine. Miss Hayes, the president's calling for you. Line 2.
Mr. President.
Karen.
What's this I hear about a conference call you've scheduled with the Attorney General? Is there some problem I should know about?
It's nothing, sir. A mistake. The conference call was canceled.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Listen, the real reason for my call is Jack Bauer.
What about Jack Bauer?
I'm embarrassed to say that after further review...
It appears that the evidence against him is, at best, inconclusive. Now, we'll have our lawyers continue to work on it, of course, but for the time being, I'm suspending the arrest order.
You're dropping the charges against Bauer?
That's correct.
Mr. President, you have had this office, other agencies, and the military dedicate all manpower and resources into apprehending Jack Bauer.
Yes, based on evidence I initially thought was credible.
Now I have new information that's
convinced me that the original intel was faulty.
Am I to release Bauer, sir?
I'll leave that to your discretion.
Thank you, Karen. Good work.
We'll be in touch.
Yes, Mr. President.
He's letting me go because he knows he's won.
What does he gain by releasing you?
I'll be on my own. Alone, unprotected, a perfect target.
Word just came in. Bierko has escaped.
What?
How long ago?
The convoy that was moving him to district was hit about 10 minutes ago. They took out all our agents except one, Davis, on line 3.
Davis, Karen Hayes, what happened?
Our lead car got taken out by an IED. I counted 6 attackers. Bierko got away before
I could call in backup.
Did you see the vehicle?
Negative. I blacked out when I got hit in the shoulder.
There's a medevac team on the way.
Before I lost consciousness,
I overheard Bierko talking to his men. He said they're not finished.
Not finished?
Yes, ma'am. I'm certain he said something about a nerve gas canister.
Did he say anything else?
I'm sorry, Miss Hayes. That's all I heard.
All right, Davis, stand by. The medical team will be there in a minute.
Copy that.
Why would Bierko even mention the Centaurs?
I don't know. I assumed all the canisters were destroyed in the explosions at the distribution center.
How many canisters has forensics accounted for?
By the time the fires were put out, there was not enough left to do a full accounting.
Damn it.
Bill, raise an interagency alert. I need LAPD to do a sweep of the ambush area for witnesses. I want search helicopters. I want Chloe to have full domain over surveillance satellites. This is priority one. We have got to find Vladimir Bierko.
Bierko is shown into a lockup.
We held one in reserve, just as you ordered. But I still don't understand why.
The man lifts a piece of tarpaulin, revealing a single canister.
We can't do much damage with one canister of nerve gas.
You're so wrong. Let's go.
The man dutifully lifts the canister out of its crate. Bierko peels the dressing from his face. An insane glint passes through his eyes. As he turns to go, he reveals a 4-inch Frankenstein scar on his cheek. 409, end of part one. Teen, the wreckage of Bierko's convoy burns. Martha Logan tips a handful of pills onto her palm and presses them to her lips. She removes her hand. Some pills are sticking to her mouth, others spill onto the floor. She spits the pills away and then violently throws the canister away across the room. She sits, looking around agitatedly. She seems to catch sight of something across the room and half smiles. She moves across to the mantelpiece and picks up a small mobile phone which she cradles in her hands and opens. She seems to have an idea and moves decisively over and opens the door. A security man stands across the hallway.
Excuse me, Agent...
It's Agent Cole, ma'am.
Cole, I'm sorry, Agent Cole.
My husband said that Aaron Pierce had been transferred to Washington, and this is Agent Pierce's phone. I was wondering if you'd be so good as to make sure that it's returned to him?
Of course.
She holds out the phone, but seems momentarily unwilling to relinquish it. Finally, the agent takes it from her.
Was there anything else, ma'am?
No. There's nothing else.
The agent leaves. Martha smiles fondly to herself. 4:14, Aaron Pierce sits alone in a pleasantly furnished room. President Logan appears in the doorway and stops, horrified.
Oh, my God.
Pierce, his face badly beaten, casts a doleful look at Logan. The president, with Agent Adams in his wake, enters the room and crosses to where Pierce sits. He hesitates before speaking.
I'm sorry about this, Aaron.
Pierce just stares as if in disbelief. Logan moves to pick up a chair, which he places next to Aaron.
Listen to me, Aaron. You think you know what's going on. I'm here to tell you, you don't.
Then why don't you explain it to me, Mr. President?
I understand Jack Bauer led you to believe that there was a recording. Something that tied me to David Palmer's murder. That recording doesn't exist.
That's not what I've been told.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. The recording doesn't exist. It's over. You have a choice here, Aaron. You are a good man. You're a fine agent. I see no reason to throw away your career. But I need to know that we can put this behind us. If you will give me your word that you will let this drop, I will make sure that you are reassigned to whatever post you want. Except for the White House, of course. So, what's it going to be, Aaron? Are my terms acceptable?
There is nothing that you have said or done that is acceptable to me in the least. You're a traitor to this country and a disgrace to your office. And it's my duty to see that you're brought to justice for what you've done. Is there anything else, Charles?
Aaron stares levelly at Logan. The president's eyes widen slightly and he turns his head away impotently. He broods for a moment and then leans forward, looking sharply at Pierce. Aaron's bloodied face remains justly impassive. Logan stands, opening his mouth as if to speak. He has nothing to say, however, and he turns slowly to leave. Aaron defiantly watches him go, his eyes then drop and close in anguish. Logan bursts into the corridor of the stable block, followed by Agent Adams.
I know Pierce, Mr. President. Served with him for 5 years. And his loyalty is to David Palmer. Believe me when I tell you, he's going to be a problem.
Logan's eyes widen slightly. He then turns to Adams and gives him a significant look from beneath knitted brows. Adams turns to go back towards where Pierce is being held. Logan turns away and heads along the corridor. He throws a swift, nervy look back as Adams disappears through the doorway. Sighing deeply, Logan reaches for his phone. Graham, still seated with his tumbler of whiskey, gets up to answer. He checks the number, then screws his Bluetooth into his right ear.
Mr. President, I confess I didn't expect to hear from you again.
The situation's changed. Everything's under control. The recording's been destroyed. It's no longer a problem.
It's very good news, Mr. President, but what about the people who've already heard it?
Can't do anything without proof. I don't think any further action needs to be taken.
Then can we assume you've got the rest of your house in order?
If by that you mean my wife, yes. Yes, she's cooperating fully. As for Aaron Pierce, that's another matter, but I'm taking care of that.
Of course. What about Jack Bauer?
I've already given Karen Hayes permission to release him. And the arrangements that we discussed about taking him out, they've already been set in motion.
It appears you have everything well in hand. Mr. President?
Yes, yes, I said I would handle it, and I have. The situation's contained. There's nothing more to worry about. I'll call you back.
Novik appears.
Mike?
Sir. What is it, Mike?
I just got off the phone with Karen Hayes. Vladimir Birko has escaped.
What? How?
The caravan transporting him to District was ambushed.
Damn it! I thought we rolled CTU into Homeland Security just to avoid screw-ups like this.
There's more, sir. They have reason to believe Birko might be readying another terrorist attack.
What kind of attack?
CTU is working on that now.
I want constant updates. You keep me apprised of the progress.
Yes, sir.
Mike hurries away. Logan paces, then leans against the wall of one of the stalls.
Chloe, any luck?
Only the bad kind. None of these satellites were positioned toward the ambush site. By the time I queued to redirect, Bierko and his men were long gone.
Did you try Caltrans?
I'm backstreaming now. So far, I've come up dry.
Keep trying. We've got to get an ID on the vehicle.
I know.
That was LAPD command. They've combed the area, but they can't find any witnesses.
None?
4 a.m. in the middle of a curfew. There simply wasn't anyone there.
Then we have nothing.
We've got Henderson.
What about him?
Henderson set up Bierko with a nerve gas to begin with.
No, we've already been down that road. He won't talk to us, and you know that.
It was about protecting Logan. If Henderson's the patriot he says he is, he's not going to want those terrorists to succeed.
Trust me, you're wasting your time. He's not going to help us.
He will if we offer him a deal.
And that's not going to happen.
Jack.
No. Not this time. Not this man.
We're running out of options here. This is about saving lives, not indulging a grudge.
You think this is about a grudge? He killed an ex-president of the United States. He tried to kill the Secretary of Defense. You want this man to walk with full immunity?
It's not about what anyone wants. It's about doing what has to be done. Nobody knows that better than you. Bierko's gonna kill innocent people. Henderson might be our only chance to stop him. Jack, what would David Palmer want you to do if he were here? The best way to honor his memory is to make the choice to save others.
Obviously, I can't stop you from doing this. If you're going to give him a deal, at least let me present it.
All right.
Thank you.
Jack walks away towards the holding cells. 4:21, Henderson sits stock still and handcuffed in a chair in the center of the bare cell. The door opens and Jack walks in. Henderson's eyes move to track Jack as he walks slowly into the cell and around to the back of the chair.
Since you're clearly no longer a fugitive, I assume they retrieved that recording.
Someone got to it and erased it. I'm not here to talk about the recording. Bierko escaped about a half an hour ago. He's going to carry out another attack.
I'm sure he will. You bruised the man's ego when you stopped his first attempt.
You know him. You know how he thinks. You studied him before you set up this deal. What's he going to do?
Why should I help you?
You call yourself a patriot. Prove it. These terrorists are going to attack the country that you love because you betrayed them. Why don't you help me put out the fire that you started?
Jack moves around to face Henderson. Henderson grins wolfishly.
They sent you in here to broker a deal, didn't they? What's the offer? Full immunity? It just must be really eating you up inside.
What do you think? You were responsible for the murder of people that I cared about.
I am sorry about David Palmer, I am, but what I did was in the interest of the destiny of this country, and I'm not talking about the version you read on the op-ed pages of the New York Times. I'm talking about the politics of survival, the way the world really works.
You want immunity or not?
Immunity is worthless.
Yeah.
Jack heads for the door.
Jack, that recording was my only immunity. They give me a piece of paper, I walk out of here, I'm a dead man. It's 2 days, 2 hours, 2 months, who cares? They're gonna take me down.
Who's they?
Same people who made Walt Cummings look like a suicide. Come on, Jack, you can't really believe that Charles Logan masterminded all of this by himself.
Give me the names.
You can't touch them. But they can touch you. I'll help you catch Bierko, but not for an immunity deal. I need something more, and you're the only person who can make it happen.
What do you want?
To disappear. just like you did, so they wouldn't turn you over to the Chinese. Except I'm not going to make your mistake. I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to take Miriam with me.
You don't need my help for that.
Actually, I do. All of my contacts are still loyal to the president. I need somebody I can trust to cover our tracks. I need somebody who can do a better job of it than those incompetents who fail to cover yours.
What makes you think that I'm not going to kill you the second this is over?
Because you're going to give me your word. And I know what your word is worth to you. So it's all I need.
Let's say I agree to this. Anything less than Bierko's head on a plate, this deal is off.
Fine. Now, Bierko is gonna hit hard, so you'd better think fast.
4:25, end of part two. Three, 4:29.
Chloe, do a phone check on these 14 names. I want you working out of the Situation Room.
Whether on... What do we have?
Henderson gave us 14 names that he believes Bierko's going to contact first. Chloe's doing a phone check and pulling out relative data.
Is Tactical standing by?
They're on priority alert. I put Curtis Manning in command if it's all right with you.
I trust your judgment, Bill.
Security's getting ready to bring Henderson in here for a debrief.
Jack sees Audrey.
Excuse me for one second. Audrey.
Jack, I just heard about the recording. Has it really been destroyed?
President Logan managed to get to it.
My God.
We have a more immediate problem.
Mirko, I heard that he escaped. That's why I came back out here. I was hoping that I could help. Why is Henderson coming out of holding?
We're using him to help us find Bierko. Audrey, Karen made a deal. She gave him immunity.
What? Jack, how can you let this happen? You know what that man has done.
We didn't have a choice. Bierko's our number one priority. We know he's planning another attack. Without Henderson's help, we won't find him.
Jack, I think we've got something.
Audrey, I'm sorry. I gotta go.
Audrey watches Jack go.
All right, what do we have?
Out of the 14 names on the list, only one has an active cell phone, Joseph Molina.
Joseph Molina is an arms dealer. He used to be a military contractor until they accused him of selling secrets. But they couldn't prove anything, so he beat all the charges.
You know him?
Well enough. I did business with him before and after he was arrested.
What do you have on him?
Molina got a 12-second call on his home phone at 4:03 a.m. from a payphone in Van Nuys, not far from the ambush site. A minute later, the same payphone got a call back from a GSM sat phone.
In other words, he took the number down, called from an untraceable line. Sounds like our guy.
Tell Curtis to mobilize his tactical team.
Hang on. Now, what good is that going to accomplish? You're going to bring Molina in here? You think he's just going to roll over on Bierko? He didn't cut a deal when he was busted before. He's not going to cut a deal now. And even if you can crack him, I don't think you can. You're going to need hours. You don't have hours.
What do you suggest?
I suggest you send me in to talk to Molina. I'll find out what Bierko got from him.
I don't think so.
Jack, don't be stupid. You know you can't get anything out of this guy. And his computer makes this place look like an internet cafe. It's got the absolute most sophisticated, state-of-the-art security system, including a Phoenix shield.
We can get through it.
Not a Phoenix. It's a poison pill firewall. Any attempt at circumventing it, and the hard drive does a cold start erase, at which point you can forget about retrieving any data.
Take him back to holding.
Jack casts a look of contempt at Henderson as he is led away.
I don't think we have a choice here.
Karen, please. Don't do this.
Jack, I know how you feel, but Henderson's right. We can't afford to gamble on this play.
Damn it, Bill, you cannot trust this guy.
I agree. That's why I'm sending you with him. I want him under your guard on a tight leash.
If he tries anything, I swear to you, I will kill him.
Then don't let it get to that point.
4:32. Martha Logan stands in the lee of one of the outbuildings of the presidential retreat, smoking a cigarette. She sees the approaching lights of a car and tucks in behind a pillar. The dark saloon car turns in through the white-painted picket gate and drives towards the stable block. Martha observes warily, and then walks gingerly towards the stables. The car reverses into the passageway between the stalls. The boot is clicked open from inside. Agent Adams gets circumspectly out of the driver's seat and moves around to the rear of the car. He opens the boot, which is shrouded in white polythene. In his right hand, Adams holds a pistol with a silencer. He casts a glance all around and then heads through the door to where Pierce is being held. Martha looks around nervously as she crosses the lawn. Adams re-emerges, pushing Aaron towards the car boot.
Get him.
Adams, listen to me. You don't have to do this. Logan isn't worth protecting, you know that. He's not going to get away with any of this, neither will you.
Shut up and get in the trunk.
Use your head. Logan wants me dead because he thinks I know too much, that I'm a liability. How soon before you're just another liability?
Adams pushes Pierce, but Aaron sidesteps and forces Adams up against the wall. Adams pistol whips him and he falls.
What are you doing?
Ma'am, please stay where you are.
Aaron? Are you going to shoot me? I'm the First Lady. You're gonna shoot the First Lady? Who are you calling?
Mrs. Logan, this is my last warning.
Pierce kicks at Adams's legs, knocking him off balance and making him drop the gun. Adams punches Pierce and fetches a tire iron from the boot. He is just about to hit Pierce with it when the gun is fired. Adams is pulled up short. He looks bemusedly towards Martha and then falls back, dead. Martha stands staring at the pistol in her hands. Aaron revives slowly.
Martha.
Aaron. Oh, God. Aaron. Stay with me. Aaron. Oh, God. Oh, God. Aaron.
4:40. Martha desperately clutches at Aaron's prone body. A pair of shiny black SUVs power through the deserted nighttime streets. On board one of these sit Jack, Curtis, and Henderson.
Jack, we're coming up on Melina's place.
The SUVs tool around a corner and up into a kind of courtyard surrounded by chain-link fence. Jack gets out. Curtis opens the rear door for Henderson. Jack opens the hatchback.
Curtis, I want you to set up a perimeter. I want a man on each possible escape route.
Yeah.
Christopher, we've got 10 minutes. You don't get the intelligence from Alina by then, we come through the door and we interrogate him.
I'm gonna tell you again, Jack, interrogating won't work. This guy won't break.
You better hope your weight does.
Give me an audio pack.
Sure. Do your shirt.
Wait a minute, you can't wire me.
Why not?
Well, think about it, Jack. You're in Molina's file. This guy didn't get where he got by being careless. He's got a scanner, a frequency detector, God knows what else. The second I walk through that door with a wire, the bells go off. This thing's over. Look, you don't trust me, fine. And just so we're straight, I don't trust you either, but neither one of us can afford to blow this operation.
We're all set. Men in position.
No games, Christopher. I don't need another reason to put a bullet in your brain. You got 10 minutes. Patch CTU in, monitor channel 8.
Got it.
4:41, Jack leads Henderson away.
Hold up.
Jack peers around the corner.
Go.
Henderson walks alone down the side of a brick building. Reaching a doorway, he presses the buzzer. The interior of the building is of ultra-modern, minimalist design with halogen spot lamps, stripped brickwork, and a utilitarian open-plan staircase down which walks a slim, swarthy man in his early 40s. He goes to the entry phone and checks the screen. It shows Henderson looking up at the camera.
Who is it? What do you want, Chris?
We have to talk.
What, at 4:30 in the morning?
About Vladimir Bierko. You don't waste my time, I don't waste your time. You're gonna want to hear what I have to say.
Melina presses a button and Henderson pushes through the door. Jack hoists himself up onto a lean-to roof outside. Henderson walks along a corridor. Jack mounts the iron rungs of a telegraph pole. Melina monitors Henderson as he passes through an internal security door and into another corridor. Jack gets level with the top of the building and hops from the telegraph pole onto the roof. Henderson comes to a scanning device and holds up his arms. Melina operates the high-tech machinery remotely. A scanned image of Henderson appears on his screen. Henderson turns through 90 degrees. The laser beam of the scanner rakes him from head to foot, revealing that the only metal about his person is the zipper of his jacket and the buckle of his belt. Melina buzzes him through. Jack prowls across the roof and lays down by a skylight. Henderson looks about him as he passes through into the spacious modern apartment. 4:43. Melina leaps out, gun drawn.
Hey! What's so important couldn't wait?
Jack applies an adhesive microphone to the skylight, which gives directly into the main room of the apartment.
What are you looking for?
Is there another way out of here?
What the hell are you talking about?
Jack, I don't like this. What's Henderson doing?
I don't know yet. Maintain your position. I repeat, maintain your position.
Secure cache the files, anything you can't do without.
Why?
Because there is an entire phalanx of CTU agents outside, including an ex-agent named Jack Bauer.
He's selling us out, Jack.
Now, Bauer is running me. I cut a deal with him, but I know this guy's gonna kill me first chance he gets.
Curtis, move your team in now.
All teams, move in, now.
Bastard, you brought him here.
He was coming here anyway, so secure the files, crash the system, stop wasting time, and do it.
Melina resentfully lets fall his gun and marches across to his battery of computer screens. Outside, Curtis and his team of armed and armored agents take up positions around the front door. On the roof, Jack jimmies open one of the skylights. Henderson looks around as Melina works at his screens. Curtis looks on as a charge is attached to the front door. A searing magnesium flare fizzes and the door swings open. Curtis moves in. Jack opens the skylight. He swings himself down between exposed polished wooden beams and into a comfortably furnished room. Curtis fires at the glass of an internal security door. One of the troops launches himself through the crazed pane. Henderson turns at the noise.
Give me your weapon.
Melina tosses Henderson his pistol. Henderson withdraws to the kitchen area for cover. Melina produces a machine pistol and scans the room. Jack appears at the top of the stairs. Melina opens fire. The CTU team burst in. Melina opens fire, hitting Curtis in the right arm. Jack fells Melina.
Cover Melina.
Christopher! Let me see your hands! Now! Slowly, stand up! Put the weapon on the counter. Step back. Curtis! How are you, men?
The men are fine. I've been hit, but I'm okay.
Call in medical. Get him transferred back to CTU. What's Melina's condition?
Gunshot to the hip. He's losing blood.
Stabilize him. Keep him alive. I had him, Jack. 30 more seconds was all I needed. You played me. This is over. You're going back. Oh, you blew it, Jack. What are you talking about? I got him to lift the firewall. He was about to dump all of his files onto a flash drive before you jumped the gun and busted in here. Now you're going to waste a hell of a lot of time trying to decrypt those files off a mainframe, so you better pray there's something on there you can read. Cuff him. Bill, this is Jack. Get Chloe to open up a channel. I'm going to send you some files from Melina's computer.
I'm on it, Jack.
Chloe, I need you to access these files. Find out which ones were opened in the last 10 minutes. They'll tell us what Melina sold Bierko.
They're coming through now. Hang on.
Bill, Curtis was hit. He's stable, but I'm having him transported back to CTU.
All right, Jack. I'll tell medical.
Send a chopper over to this location. As soon as we know what Bierko's target is, we're going to need to move fast.
Okay, I got through the firewall. It's still going to take me some time to decrypt the files.
Chloe, just do it as quickly as you can. Bierko's going to release the Centaur's gas soon. We need to know where. There, you should have everything. Let's go.
They head out, leading Henderson. 4:47, end of part 3. Part 4, 4:52. Martha tends Pierce in the stables.
Aaron. Charles lied to me. He said you'd been transferred to Washington. That agent, Adams, my husband ordered him to kill you, didn't he?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry to tell you, the president was involved with much worse things than that.
I know. I was gonna let him get away with it. All of it. I was gonna keep quiet. We have to do something.
I'll hide the body. I'll get him in the trunk. But I can't drive it out of here. The president has to believe that I'm dead. I need to lay low, keep out of sight.
I can do it.
No.
Yes, Aaron, I can drive it.
No, you need to get back inside the residence. Your husband can't suspect that anything has gone wrong. You need to find Mike Novick.
Mike?
Tell him everything. And tell him to meet me here.
Okay. Aaron, promise me. Promise me that if something goes wrong and you're in danger of getting caught, you will find a way off these grounds and you will leave. Promise me.
You have my word.
Martha gazes into Pierce's eyes at close range. She then shakes her head slightly and gets up, leaving him sitting slumped against the wall of one of the stalls. 4:54. She walks away slowly past the sinisterly polythene-shrouded car boot. Jack frog marches Henderson back towards the SUV.
You're in by the tailgate.
Yes, sir.
Jack dials on his mobile.
Buchanan.
Bill, is Jack. How's Chloe doing with the files?
Almost there, Jack.
Okay, I got it. Wait, there's something more. Classified defense contracts and plans. It's a Russian submarine, Jack. The Natalia K-524 Delta IV class. It's scheduled for inspection by our Navy.
Why is the U.S. Navy inspecting a Russian submarine?
It's part of the treaty that President Logan and President Suvorov signed. There's a provision that calls for the sharing of technology.
Where is it docked?
Docking Station 8. It's a non-military shipyard at the port of Los Angeles.
I'll deploy tech teams to the port.
Good.
Chloe, hold on.
What is the armament package on a Russian Delta IV class sub?
Best to my knowledge, 12 Scorpion land attack missiles.
Are they nuclear?
No, but they're fast and accurate, carry multiple warheads. One of them take out several city blocks.
Uncuff them.
Karen, it's Jack. Are you still there?
Yes, Jack, I'm here.
Okay, I need you to put me in touch with the ranking U.S. officer on the Natalia. We need to get them to lock out their onboard weapon systems.
All right, I'll have Audrey call DOD and open a priority line to the sub, and she'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you. You're coming with me.
I found Virgo's target for you.
The deal with Bierko's head on a plate.
So what do you want me to do now? Kill him for you?
The only reason you're going with me is because you know the weapons system. Get in. Let's go.
Jack pushes Henderson on board a sleek blue helicopter, which swiftly dusts off. 4:56.
Jack, I've got the U.S. Navy's ranking officer on board the Natalia. I'm putting you through.
Okay, Audrey, stay on the line.
All right, Jack, hold on.
A submarine sits in dock.
Lieutenant Southern, you're on with Jack Bauer.
Agent Bauer, what is this about?
Lieutenant, we believe the Natalia has been targeted for a terrorist attack. You need to secure your vessel and lock down your weapon systems immediately.
Ski, call all hands, set condition Delta, seal the bridge and aft hatches.
Aye, sir.
You need to put your men on alert. There's a threat to your submarine.
The dry must take armor. Хорошо.
Now, what is the nature of this threat?
We think the terrorists are after your missiles on the sub.
I'm going to check right now.
The crew-cut officer moves briskly through the cramped corridors of the sub. He stops and produces a key from a lanyard around his neck. He gets a pistol from a hatch and loads it. Gun in hand, he moves off through the gangway.
Sailor, I've got that. Report aft.
Yes, sir.
He looks carefully up a shaft and then reaches for the phone.
Lauer, I'm checking topside.
The officer stows his pistol and then climbs a ladder. He sticks his head out through the hatch. Bierko is standing on the deck.
Lieutenant! Damn it, Audrey, I've lost him. Notify DOD.
All right, Jack, I'm on it.
Captain, we need to move.
The chopper pilot speeds away. Bierko and his men don gas masks. Bierko tosses the nerve gas canister down into the sub where it lands next to the dead body of the officer. His men close the heavy hatch door. The top of the canister opens and gas begins to curl out of the device.
Captain, how far out are we?
Just over 5 minutes, sir.
The Russian and American crew within the sub fall dead. Bierko's men lift the hatch. Bierko is the first to step down into the craft. .459. Bierko leads his men through the deserted gangways. Bierko, clutching a small electronic device, leads his men onto the bridge.
That way. We should die.
Bierko edges around the periscope and stands in front of a computer monitor. The screen appears blank.
Read me the code we got from Malina.
Alpha 255, Tango Romeo 99.
Good. We have control of the weapons system. Are the missiles loaded?
Vertical tubes are loaded and ready. Loading horizontal tubes now.
Bierko's men operate the machinery in the torpedo bay. Long, gleaming missiles are moved fluidly into position. 5 a.m. The end